Well, hello and welcome to this month's edition of TalkJet. It is my pleasure today to introduce you to someone who is not a realtor. I'm going to introduce you to Robert Stover, a gentleman that I've known for a long time. Robert is a strategist, he's an author, and he's going to introduce you to a Venn diagram. He's going to talk to you about a hub and wheel, and he's going to talk to you about a Christmas tree. And here's what I think is going to happen. He is going to rock your world in terms of the way that you approach marketing, the way that you approach real estate, and I believe the big picture to how you're actually attracting people to you that need to buy and sell real estate. It's my pleasure to introduce you to Robert Stover. Well, hello, Robert. How are you, and how's everything in Orange County today?
Bill, I'm doing great. Looks like we're going to have a nice 80-degree day. Sunshine, nice. Fog lifted, so things
nice.
Are good.
I should probably clarify that's Orange County, California.
Yes.
So I'm going to introduce listeners to you, and this is, as I said in the intro, a bit of a departure. Robert is an old friend. We go back about 20 years, and what you need to know about Robert Stover is that he is the president of Strategy Matters, and you can find that company at strategymatters.com. He is the author of Strategy Matters, a simple seven-step process to go from struggle to success, which is about based on what I saw today, you're about 4.9 stars on Amazon. Robert has worked on marketing and our strategy with Procter & Gamble, Investors Business Daily, Staples, Chase Bank. But in our world, also with the Mike Ferry Organization, Smart Reply, which is related to Mortgage Coach. And so while that, you know, we wouldn't necessarily describe that as your absolute focus, there are industries at least with which you have some familiarity, right?
I have heard of real estate.
I can pronounce real estate and realtor, which is two syllables, by the way.
Yeah, I can't spell it, but I can pronounce it.
So. Yeah, you wouldn't be alone with that either. So here's the thing. The reason that we're talking today is that Robert gets it in the market, and it occurred to me that, you know, in coaching we often refer to pulling out to a 30,000-foot view and taking a big picture of looking at what's going on. And as I day in, day out interact with both professionals in the mortgage and the real estate industries, as Robert, you and I talked about yesterday, it takes me back to what the real estate industry was for so many years. And it was, you know, it was geographic farming, and it was knocking on doors and pumpkins and American flags and refrigerator magnets and fly swatters with names and phone numbers on them and, you know, just listed and just sold postcards and newsletters. And that was real estate for a long time. And full-page ads, like we talked about, multiple full-page ads in newspapers, that, you know, that was the battleground for real estate. And then we go through this debacle when the, you know, the meteor hit the mortgage industry in 07 and the ripple effect you're certainly feeling in Orange County, California. And, you know, there's a lot of fallout from that. And so the mortgage industry is kind of being reinvented to some degree. And I believe that the real estate industry is being reinvented to some degree. And so what I wanted to do is get inside your head today, and this is a head, by the way, I'm telling listeners now, that I describe Robert as one of the smartest, wittiest guys I know, and I know that when he responds to one of my Facebook posts, I'm usually in trouble, because now he's going to stir the pot and get people thinking differently.
Well, now you've got me tied up. I'm trying to be witty, and my brain froze.
I have to go be funny, and I have to be smart. But here's the thing. From your perspective, from that strategist chair, what would be your observations about the real estate industry right now? What are you seeing going on out there?
Well, I've got a couple observations, and the big thing is, yeah, you're in pain, and there's a reason for it. You're not imagining it, and it's primarily because of two massive forces that have slammed into the industry. Force one, like you mentioned, the economy.
Yeah.
It's hitting everyone. It just obliterated the real estate.
Right.
And so that's a fact on the ground. We have to look at that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stay there, but we have to admit, okay, real estate got damaged.
Right.
And my income got damaged because of it. The second meteor that's flown in has been the whole fragmentation of traditional media. Like last night on the phone we were talking, and you mentioned it was a big fight by the major...
they were like the large independent real estate companies back in the 90s.
Yeah, for the full page in L.A.
Yeah,
Times and
yeah.
the bidding on it. Well, L.A. Times, I think it was like 5-8 million subscribers they had. Population now in the L.A. Basin has grown out to about 15 million.
Wow.
And their subscriptions have dropped to 800,000.
Unbelievable.
And media, I call it like broken glass. It's like you just shatter a glass on the ground.
Right.
And it's just shattered into 1,000 pieces.
Yeah.
There's no longer those big media, the big three on the, CBS, NBC, ABC. The first shot was cable.
Right.
But then all of a sudden the social media thing hit.
Yeah.
And then social media fragments into 1,000 things. And Twitter and Facebook and Foursquare and Squeedy Lenses and Yelp and all the other review sites and Angie's List and Craigslist. Yeah. So, all of that, it created a for real turmoil.
Right.
And major corporations in the United States now have no clue what they're going to do next.
I'll bet. Yeah.
And so how much more, I'm a realtor without an entire strategic team of people paid full time to figure this out. And what do I do next? And where do I go? And so there's a lot of, frustration and struggle and oh, I've got to do Facebook posts. Okay, I'll do Facebook. Oh, I didn't. Oh, I got to do Twitter. Oh, I've got to do Foursquare. Oh, what's this new thing? Oh, Yelp. Some people are using that. And it's all this, kind of, like a drowning victim.
Right, right.
And you're just flailing at anything.
Yeah.
And so, I think there's a couple things that real estate professionals have to hear right now.
Good.
And for example, I've mentioned I'm working on a new book project, and I'm interviewing all these fast growth businesses, and they're the ones we're all jealous of.
Right.
They're outgrowing their industry by 128%. They're, they're flush. They're wealthy. They're taking time off. They're living the dream while we're all, flailing around.
Right.
So I'm interviewing these guys, and something starts coming up. And it kind of surprised me. And that was most of their growth curves came after a moment of crisis.
Interesting.
And so real estate is in a moment of crisis right now. So what I want to do is kind of hold out a hand, hold out a rope, and go, you know what, there's going to be a moment of growth that comes out of this. Completely new things and new ideas and new approaches and new ways of doing real estate.
Robert, I love that. And longtime listeners and coaching clients that know me would recognize one of the things that I often quote is Jim Rohn, the great business philosopher that we lost a year or two ago. He used to say sometimes the greatest growth happens when you hit the wall and you say it will never be like this again. And we can all probably relate to that personally, whether that's, the doctor looking at the x-rays telling you you've got to quit smoking or you've got to lose some weight or, I hit the wall in terms of my finances or whatever it might be. But you're right, man. Professionally, that's the experience that's going on right here. It's a little sad, but at the end of the day, if that's the impetus, if that's the ignition point that you're seeing with rapid growth companies, man, let's unpack that a bit.
Yeah, and it's I don't want to deny the reality. I hate kind of the rah rah. Hey, it's just your outlook. Woo,
right?
You can do it.
Yeah,
and I don't want to be like that because the pain's real.
No doubt.
But I'm talking to all of these guys, and their businesses are growing. And let's take we both know Dave Savage of Mortgage Co. Smart Reply.
Yeah.
One of his companies, they were working their tails off and bouncing around $1 million a year in revenue. FCC came out with new regulations, which threatened them with extinction.
Right.
They were going to be gone. They had to change. So they kind of looked and go, well, what customers would make most sense to focus on? And they kind of had to regroup their business. And when they focused on a tiny little segment out of all their business, they shot up to $7 million in the next 2 years.
Wow.
Now, here's the joke. They could have done that 2 years earlier.
Right.
But they never would have found it if that problem hadn't come in.
I love you say in your book that if you're out at the campsite and there's a rock next to you by the fire pit or whatever, it really means nothing to you other than the fact that it's a rock until you recognize that you didn't bring the mallet to knock the stakes in to set up the tent or defend yourself against the bear that comes. Suddenly that rock is very valuable to you, right?
Yes. Exactly. And a lot of times you didn't want to stick. I focus a lot on don't focus on the problem, focus on the solution.
Yeah.
And the economy and fragmented media and all of that stuff, yes, you have to recognize it and note it. Dwelling on it isn't going to bring a single deal into your pipeline.
Yeah, good point.
So you have to transform those problems and pains.
Right.
And into a vision.
Yeah.
I mentioned the other night, I interviewed a guy. He was VP, Coldwell Banker Commercial, doing well, had a difference of opinion left. So he had others offering him jobs, you know, real high six-figure.
Sure.
And he took 2 months off. But he never would have taken that 2 months off had the issue not come up.
Yeah.
Out of that came a whole new business that's now created his ideal life. And again, it was the problems that were the impetus for that breakthrough.
Yeah, I so get that, and we see it all the time in coaching. So here we are facing that, and you know the real estate industry today, there are some truths that are just sort of universal. There's some that are very regional. You know, so you look around the country and you look at Vegas and you look at Phoenix, and you know, in some ways those markets have just been absolutely decimated in terms of real estate. While in the Midwest, you know, large parts of Texas, Salt Lake, you know, a lot of Utah, they're rocking. You know, there's new construction, things are happening. Doesn't mean that mortgage lending is any easier. You know, it doesn't mean that those people aren't affected by the same negative stories by the national media, you know, that people are in other markets. But what it's done, Robert, is it's sort of created these different segments. And so everybody that's listening right now, you fall into, you know, probably one of three categories. You're either traditional real estate, meaning sort of the way we've always done it. You know, you're dealing with buyers and sellers, you're talking to them, you're holding open houses, you've got a database, you're helping people that need to sell their property, et cetera, but they've got equity, they can make things happen. The other group are the short sales, right, where it's like, well, this property has to sell for less than it's worth because that's just the only way that's going to work. You've got people that walk away, realtors that negotiate those transactions with banks. And then you've got the REO business, which is the real estate owned, which is where actually the realtor interfaces with an asset manager who has an enormous amount of inventory on the books that they need to get rid of. And then you mix into all of that. There's investors out there that are looking around going, real estate, long-term, pretty good play, not getting a great ROI anywhere else. Maybe I'm going to run into some of these markets and start picking up some of that real estate. So there's a lot of interesting dynamics going on right now in the business.
Yeah, and one of the questions, like, you know, you look at everything that's going on, and I want to touch on something that they do need to have a vision.
Good.
So even if it seems crazy right now, and it does, what's happened is we used to all have the dream, we'll call it the million-dollar realtor dream.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm using that term is if you go out and research on Amazon, that's the number one selling several titles.
Really?
Yeah. So I think the top 10, it's three of them.
Interesting.
So let's be honest, in their heart of hearts, realtors still want to be million-dollar realtors. Loan officers and lenders and originators still want to be million-dollar originators.
Yeah.
But the market hits, and you just stuff that down because it's not realistic. Why even think about it? Why bother about it?
Right.
And what I want them to do on this call is actually get fired up again and think about it and bring that back out. Because when they do, it's some of the stuff we're going to talk about here in a bit, they can start piecing together the new stuff, the new cloth that dream comes out of. It most likely won't come out of what they used to do.
I love that, and I just want to land on that for a minute. I've talked about something that's much higher level, but it relates to this. And what I love about you is you can go both strategic and tactical. And I want to give listeners something, Robert, that they can really take away and scratch their head a little bit and say, that's really interesting. That guy made me think. Here's another way that I can approach this. Here's my sort of umbrella over that thought. On my blog, CoachBillHart.com, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I did a blog called Forks and Spatulas, and the idea was if your market used to be, your real estate market, the size of a hula hoop, but everybody that was in the market competing with you had a fork, what happened is when the market shifted, a lot of those people left with their forks. They got out because this is a business that's easy to just go, oh, the wind shifted, I'm out of here, I'm gone. And my contention was, so you're still in it, even though now the market is the size of a Frisbee, but instead of a fork, let's get you a spatula. So let's get you more of what's there, even if it's in a contracting market at the moment. So philosophically, I'm with you. What I would love to do is get to some things tactically where you can get them thinking a little bit differently.
Sure. One of the other topics we talked about, I mentioned these interviews. I'm kind of dense like a brick. So 4 interviews in a row, I had these real fast growth guys all tell me the same thing. And all of a sudden it gets in and I think back and go, oh wow, 3 other guys mentioned that too. Mm. And what they said was relationships.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like, oh, relationships. Oh, well, relationships are nice. You know, they kind of lean forward. They got that conspiratorial look on why am I growing so fast. They look side to side, make sure no one's listening to us, even though I had the conversations recorded. And then they went, it's relationships.
Wow.
And then one guy goes, I got a database of 4,000 people. He goes, I know who their kids are. I know whose kids are going to college. I know who's getting divorced.
Right.
And he goes, I know everything about them. He goes, I move them from there's people I know to people I've had beers with. Then there's people I've had dinner with. Then there's people I've golfed with. And he goes, I move them through that funnel to deepen the relationship. And he goes, you can't fake it.
Right.
They'll sense you're being insincere or coming after them like a shark.
Yeah.
But, okay, you know, we talk about all the fragmentation and new media, and we're going to talk a lot about other stuff coming
sure.
on. Relationships is human, and it's been here for thousands of years, and it'll be here for thousands of more. And I think that becomes your ground zero.
Yeah, man, I love that. And you know, so many of the people that are listening to this right now will recognize that, you know, certainly Todd Duncan has been teaching this for a long time, and Tim Sanders and Keith Ferrazzi, and, you know, Michael Mayer's new book, The 7 Levels of Communication, How to Go from Relationships to Referrals. It's all, the messages are out there, the mentors are out there, the people are screaming this from the rooftops, but what I'm hearing you say is this came back to you again and again with these rapid growth companies. And maybe the reminder to us in real estate is, you know, there's an old song we sing in church called Deep and Wide, right? Maybe it's both. Maybe it is wide. Yeah, I got to go wide with my message. But, man, I need to go deep as well, because the reality is, look, homeowners, either whether they're sellers or buyers, they've all got stories. They've all got situations. They've all got pain that they've been through. And maybe what I'm hearing you say is it's the person that takes the time to go just a little bit deeper, to ask a few more questions, to take a few more notes.
And being mercenary, all of those people have relatives and children and friends and brothers and sisters and
without
mothers.
Without a doubt.
And when you connect with them. So let's take old relationships.
Okay.
Let's combine it with new, Facebook.
Yeah.
I've got a lender. I've got two realtors. Not one of them has connected with me on Facebook.
Wow.
Bill, how much does it cost to set up a Facebook account?
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of friends, Robert, after this interview. Okay, so to answer your question, nothing.
Exactly. How much time?
A minute.
Yeah, take a moment off Drudge Report or the Huffington Post or whatever you go politically
right.
And set up a Facebook account.
Yeah.
And guess what? Pull out your old school manual list of old clients.
Yep.
And you either call them, or you write them, or you email them, or have your assistant call them up and go, hey, I've got a Facebook page. Could you come out and connect with me?
Right.
What's your Facebook page?
Right.
Or just get on Facebook and type in their name. And if you've got it digital, Facebook makes it easy for you. Here, import your address book.
Yeah, exactly.
Now go friend all those people.
Just jump in.
You've just touched them for free. It didn't cost a stamp. It didn't take the time to print the letter. None of that. All right, now we're going to take it further. When you do a Facebook post, like, for example, Bill, you post a lot,
mm-hmm.
and I still don't see your post every day.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Because I got a stream, you know, 200
sure.
things flying by, kind of like the code in the Matrix going by.
Right.
And, oh, Bill, blip. Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
So I may or may not see you.
Yeah.
But guess what you can do, Bill? You can go out to Facebook advertising, go to the advanced settings, and go, I want this ad. You know, Merry Christmas ad or whatever you want to do, only go to my subscribers. And it'll cost you pennies.
So I just
so
got,
they
I,
see
I,
it.
I'm
so when they come out, you're up there in an ad on the side.
Yeah.
And they see you.
Yeah.
Oh, Bill. And I don't miss you because you're not in the stream. You're now into the ads. The
so I'm listening to you as a consumer or as a client. And I didn't know that. I knew that Facebook advertising was available. I knew you could slice and dice it through the data, you know, that you, if I want, you know, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, one-eared, you know, golfers in this zip code, I can find them. I did not realize that you could advertise just to your database or just to your friends.
And it costs almost nothing.
That's brilliant.
5 cents a click, if they click. But you just want them seeing you and you're out in front of their mind. Cause real estate always been a timing thing.
Right.
How do you know when somebody's ready to
exactly.
sell a home? You gotta be there.
Yep.
And so that's why real estate actually was more advanced than some of the drip system stuff.
Okay, so Robert, let me ask you a question, because I see this all the time with realtors, because I have so many friends. I got 4,500 friends on Facebook, and 2,200 of them are realtors. And what realtors default to is what they know, and so they post on Facebook their new listing. So if you go to a realtor, a classic realtor's page on Facebook, what you're going to see is, love this new three-bedroom, two-bath, sprawling rustic. And that's kind of all. I've always felt like that's walking into a party with a handful of listing sheets on your latest listings and say, hey, check out my new listing. Look at my new listing. After a while, people are going to turn off to that. So what would you suggest that they do? Are we overthinking the interaction in social media?
Well, yes and no. So first of all, that is a problem. For example, I know a guy. He's got a coaching training program. There is not a tweet or a Facebook posting that doesn't go out that isn't selling his training program.
Right.
Guess who I blocked?
Yeah.
And I like the guy.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm tired of hearing about you selling your training program.
Right.
So let me give a metaphor, and imagine we're at a whiteboard, and I just drew a Venn diagram, two overlapping circles.
Okay.
Well, in that overlap section, one of those circles is all the stuff you're interested in, like real estate.
Yeah.
And Star Wars figurines.
Right. Perfect.
So anyway, that's the stuff you're interested in. And, yep. Well, realtor, you know, you're in real estate. Of course, you're passionate about real estate.
Yeah.
Then over here are your customers. They're in the other circle.
Mm-hmm.
And here's all the stuff they're interested in.
Right.
What's going on in the economy? What about my investments? How am I going to get my kids through school? Am I going to have to move the parents into the house? You know, what are my teenagers doing on Facebook I don't know about?
Right.
So that's all the stuff they're interested in. You need to find that overlap.
Right.
What are your commonalities? Post
yep.
on that stuff.
Yep. So in real estate right now, it could be some of the low-hanging fruit that I think would fall into that overlap would be things like, so what's really going on in the market? Where are interest rates? Is now a good time to buy? Is now a good time to sell? What are the trends in these markets? Here's a story of someone that we helped the other day, right? More that kind of thing, or
yes.
am I missing it?
Yes, more that stuff. Educational, interesting, but not necessarily commercial.
Yeah.
Right stuff on. That makes you look like an authority.
Right on. Love that.
And there's some guys out there, they have these authority blogs, and all they do is go and comment on everybody else's stuff and post it.
Right.
And they don't even create their own content.
Right.
And they're like, rising in the rankings and everything, so they're really knowledgeable. Well, all they did was went out and posted on everybody's YouTubes and put it
yeah.
in the blog.
Yeah.
So in essence, you don't even need content. You
right.
can go out and comment on other content.
Yeah.
Hey, here's what Greenspan says.
No, that's a really good point, Robert. I think you've helped a lot of people, and especially on the Facebook advertising concept. That's brilliant. Not that you want to overdo it necessarily, but when used strategically, it's like you were telling me last night, and you may go there, that there's actually a bridge between kind of old media and new media, right?
Right.
So I don't know if that's where you wanted to go now, but it occurred to me that what we used to do in old media to not reinvent the wheel, just say, well, but hang on, this is where people are now. Instead of picking up that LA Times in the morning, this is where they're going. So let's bring that same information that's valuable to them where they are.
Exactly. And there's common things, like if someone's looking to sell their home, there's common questions they have. Let's talk about a spoke hub model real quick.
Okay.
One of the ways to deal with all the fragmentation is to have kind of a centered place that's your go-to place and that your customers can always come to.
Right.
The fact is, on a tweet, you can create interest, you can create friends, you can create a conversation, you can't create a sale.
Right.
You can in longer copy on a website or a blog.
Right.
I'm biased. I mean, blogs look like websites now.
Sure.
Go to studiopress.com or thesis.com. They're WordPress blogs, but they've got realtor kind of faces on them,
mm-hmm.
skins,
mm-hmm.
and they're gorgeous. And they're like $80, and you can have one of the hottest looking blogs around.
So those are new to me, Robert. Tell me again. Thesis.com.
Yeah. Thesis theme.
Okay.
It's at DIYthemes.com.
Okay.
And then the other one would be Studio Press, which is the Genesis theme.
Got it.
And especially on the Genesis side,
yep.
they have a bunch of pre-built skins, that's what they call them,
yep.
That you just slap onto the top of WordPress.
Perfect.
And they're realtor sites that include listings and MLS and
nice.
Just tons of stuff. They're gorgeous.
Yeah.
And they look better than an old hoagie website.
Right, right.
But the important thing about that is you have a place where you can very rapidly put up longer form information.
Mm.
It's as easy as doing a Word doc now with WordPress.
Right.
And so you can post longer things, or you can post the five reasons now might be the time to sell, or the hidden nugget in the dark market, or you know whatever your posts are. Then you take that link and you put it out on your Facebook, you put it out on Twitter, you put it out on Foursquare.
Right.
You put it out on your Squidolens.
Now, man, that's a really good point, and that's what I do. With my blog is all video, just because it's easier for me. It's an easy medium. I'm very comfortable with it. But that would be my hub is CoachBillHart.com. And then from there, I can push those things out through all the other places. But I love the visual. So you're saying that's the hub. What are the spokes?
Spokes are Facebook.
Yeah.
They're Twitter.
Yeah.
They're traditional advertising.
Mm.
Your postcards.
Yeah.
And they all drive back to that hub.
Love it.
So both your traditional and your other media fit on there. But that way you're not as schizophrenic.
Right.
It's like, okay, this is my place. Here's where I take people. Now Facebook and all these other means, as they rise and fall in popularity and everything else, become
yeah.
my way to drive traffic to that.
And so you would tell a real estate agent that really should be their hub, even over the traditional sort of website where we've got the old, I don't want to name any names, but you probably know what I'm talking about with the, you know, just plethora of free reports, just lots of interaction, trying to capture data. I'm not so sure that that's a bad idea, but I think you can overdo that, right?
Yeah, you absolutely want something for them to opt in on your site.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the upper right's always the thing.
Yeah.
You absolutely want that.
Okay.
But you also want some content where they read more. And then at the end of the content, go, you know, if you want a half-hour consultation on your real estate decision, give me
right.
a call.
Perfect.
Or opt into my newsletter or
Perfect.
Whatever.
Love that. Love that. Spokes, hub and spokes. Brilliant.
Yeah, because again, like I said, it's so fractionated now.
Yeah, it is.
And this is a way to center.
Yeah.
And come back, okay, here's where I'm going to post my prime content. Now I'm going to go out and just learn Twitter.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use my content on Twitter and see how I do.
Man, I'm telling you, my friend, there are real estate agents right now that are listening to this that are, I guarantee you, leaning back, taking a deep breath and going, oh, that really puts it in perspective for me. Because I know it, because when I'm interviewing people and when I'm coaching people, we're having these conversations. And it's so easy to, like you say, get fractionated, a new word for me, by the way, love it, and go chasing after that latest silver bullet, that shiny bauble that, you know, the geek told you should master, and I get it, but it's a spoke. It's not the hub.
Yeah. And let's talk about doing everything. Facebook for some people is working, for some that don't.
Yeah.
And Twitter is working for some, it doesn't. Yelp is working for some it doesn't.
Yeah.
But if you do them all at once, it doesn't work for anyone.
Right.
So let's just take Twitter.
Okay.
What I would encourage, one of the cool things about Twitter are there's some external services to Twitter that you can, like, one, tweetmatics.com.
Mm-hmm.
$19 a month, you go out, sign up, and you can type in keyword phrases.
Mm-hmm.
Selling my home. My realtor sucks. well, I just sent you a tweet earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
So, for those that aren't laughing, somebody just went out and I was doing research for the call, and somebody went out and tweeted that they were asleep and the realtor this morning just walked into their house. And they were hiding in the closet from him. So,
it's brilliant.
So they might be motivated to get another realtor.
I want to make sure people get this. And what I mean by that is, especially for people unfamiliar with Twitter and sort of how it works, this is a third-party solution that you're saying what it does is it allows you to search by specific topic, and you can see sort of real-time, is that right? Real-time?
Yes.
As people are talking about, gee, I need to sell my house or my realtor's an idiot or whatever it might be, thereby giving you immediate prospects, right?
Yes, and what you can do is you can go out and you have to follow them.
Yeah.
Or you can, it'll get complex if we get in the weeds on it.
But no worries.
There's a lot of stuff you can do, but let's say if you follow them.
The point is, these are people that are holding their hands up saying, I have a need or I have an issue or a situation that's
right.
relevant to me.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is sales professionals as well as professionals, we tend to look at both Twitter and Facebook as how can I get a lead tool?
Right.
Another major reason you need to be on them is because that's where the conversation is happening with the customers right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we talked about relationships. Relationships only happen with contact.
Right.
Last night I was on a forum on mobile apps.
Yeah.
And the people were going, well, how often do I do it? And one of the guys had a great thing. He goes, look at it like a relationship. He goes, you date a girl, have a good time. You tell her you call her in the morning. 6 months go by.
Right.
You're sitting around. Your friends are all dating now. You're alone. Well, she wasn't that bad. I think I'll give her a call. What's your reaction going to be?
Exactly.
He goes, on the other hand, you have a date. It goes well. You tweet her that night before bed. You tweet her in the morning. Are you awake yet?
Yeah.
You tweet her at lunch. What are you having for lunch? A little too much.
Right, exactly. But relationships need to be fed and watered is what you're saying.
Yes, and not overfed and watered.
Yeah. No, man, that's a really good point. And again, for especially for real estate agents that are on this call right now. And remember, these are top realtors that we're talking to. But what'll often happen, and you know this, Robert, because you've worked with so many, you know, type A's, right? High D's, charge, go, go, go. Let's go make some things happen. If they don't really like intuitively get it, what they'll do very often is delegate this to someone else. And so someone else on their team is now in charge of posting. Well, now they got to kind of look around and, you know, it's not the agent's voice. And so I just want to say as a coach, I think what I'm hearing Robert say here is right now, don't lose your mind over this. You don't need to time block an hour a day. Make this more organic. Nearly all of us are carrying smartphones now. It is so easy to post. You know, just go take a photograph, make a quick comment. It's so easy to do in a mobile sense, and it creates that interaction, and then when you start, you have to watch from time to time so that you're not just constantly pushing these posts out, right? You've got to interact with people as well.
Right. And one of the things I found useful for Twitter for me is I've actually created relationships with it. So if someone out and follows me and then they do something, I see what they're interested in, and I shoot them a private message on Twitter and go, hey, you're going to love this. If you like this, like once somebody wanted on interweaving's story fiction writing techniques into copywriting.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, if you're really interested in that, you're going to love this book.
Right.
And she goes, oh, well, thanks. Another guy is an Australian guy who has an ad agency in China who lives in Florida.
Perfect.
And I, you know, smart mouthed off to him something, and he smart mouthed back. And we just sat down in Laguna and had breakfast the other day.
So you didn't know him, you're saying?
Right.
Right on.
Completely cold. But it built a relationship.
Right on.
It's kind of like a digital farm.
Yep.
And you can't, so if you're not looking at it like a vulture on the wire waiting for something to die.
Right.
You know, what's the old thing? Patience my tail. I'm going to kill something.
Exactly.
So if you're not looking at it like that and you're going, what are these people interested in? Hey, you know, oh, that's kind of funny. I'm going to comment on what they said. Or hey, great tweet or whatever. And you actually find out people want relationships.
Yeah, man, I'm just loving what you're saying, and I really hope everybody's getting this, because there was an old school of thought, and you know this, in real estate, that it was all just sort of, I used to call it bank account by body count, because you were constantly looking for someone who was ready to buy or sell, and if they weren't, you went on to the next one. There was no sense of building any kind of relationship, and what we're finding is that's very short-sighted. It's a scarcity approach to life. It's a scarcity approach to business. You can make a lot of money. But what I'm hearing you say is your world actually gets bigger. The difference is, instead of walking out, knocking on people's doors, talking to them on the doorstep, not that there's anything wrong with that, but this is a virtual version of that, and it's infinitely more efficient.
Exactly. For example, I mean, I'm just going to cry if I find out that people listen to this, and they've got past customers, and they didn't go out and friend their past customers on Facebook.
Right.
Well, now you get on Facebook, and you click on the little sidebar that goes, friends. And you go take a look at their site, and you go, what's going on? Oh, they posted pictures of their baby.
Right.
And you go, wow, cutest baby ever, !
Right.
Done.
Love the new monkey.
Yeah,
maybe that would be a bad post, sorry.
Curtain swinger.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
great idea, though.
But boom, you've touched base with them.
Yeah.
I've got a friend, and he calls it making friends by being a smart mouth.
Yep.
I don't know if folks on the call know who Guy Kawasaki is.
Sure.
He's a big guru. kind of the hot social media guy.
Yep.
And, well, he gets a friendship going with him. How? By going out on his tweets and posting smart mouth comments back. So Kawasaki tweets something, and he goes and goes, oh, but what about, and does some smart mouth thing. Well, then Kawasaki responds back. And pretty soon they're friends, and Kawasaki's staying at his house when he comes out here and stuff.
Brilliant.
So that's that whole, again, old is relationship.
Yep.
New is relationships through Twitter, relationships through Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's not just a lead tool. So old school is relationship.
Yep.
New school is relationships through Twitter, through Facebook, et cetera.
Right.
The problem is we're looking at them like only lead generation tools.
Yep.
Not as tools to deepen and enrich the relationships with our existing customers.
Love it.
Here's the magic. Where do referrals come from? And there's about 100 techniques on how to ask people for referrals.
Sure.
Not one of those techniques works if they don't like you.
No doubt.
And so what I find out when I'm doing these interviews and working with people is referrals come out of relationships.
Yeah.
And so that's why this relationship thing's so important. Your future business comes out of your existing relationships, and your referrals come out of your relationships.
I love the simplicity of it, man. And I don't know, maybe other people are like totally tracking, like, oh, yeah, I get that. But I am telling you, I have been a student of the game, Robert, for a long time. But I've never heard anybody actually come out and say referral technologies or techniques don't work if they don't like you. I mean, I realize that's sort of fundamental, but here's the other thing I know. There's a whole school of thought and people being trained and coached on how to build referrals, but it can become so mechanical that we forget the EQ, the emotional quotient part of actually connecting with people, right?
Yes. And it's the classic, hey, Bill, great seeing you. I haven't seen you in a while. Hey, did you bring your database?
Right.
Let's look through it. Now, who do you know who?
Right.
And it's like you just become a piece of meat they're using to get what they want.
Totally.
And people like relationships. People tend not to like being used.
Yeah, man. Well, that's awesome. So that's actionable. I think listeners, this is something that they can now take and say, okay, I got to create my hub. We've got some good sources on where they might go for that if they don't have that solution. Because, Robert, what a lot of real estate agents do is they'll go to, like, lead generation companies that build sort of templated websites or, you know, they'll have a variety of skins, but they're all about lead generation. And what I'm hearing you say is that might be a part of your solution, part of your strategy. But maybe the hub, I mean, talk to me about that. Just make sure I'm clear on it. Are you saying that the hub is better served actually being a blog than a traditional website, or is that not necessarily the case?
Not necessarily. It's my preference.
Okay. Fair enough.
And working with clients, websites tend to mean webmaster, tend to mean someone else has to post my stuff up,
yeah.
Tends to mean complexity.
Yeah.
And even though a blog can look identical to a world-class website.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah, man, I agree, and I'm telling you this, people, I do all my posts on WordPress, and it's super simple. You know, I've got a great resource that, you know, for $750, it'll make it look great for you, but it sounds like there's some even less expensive, just template-based solutions out there.
Yeah.
So anyway, get the hub. Now the spokes become, like you said, virtual or sort of old school. It could be Facebook, Twitter, postcards, whatever it is that you're doing out there, but they all drive into the hub, right?
Yes.
Right on.
So, and at the hub, you need somehow to capture them, a piece of bait,
yeah.
I always call it,
yeah.
Or several, and it can be free real estate consultation, it can be your phone number, or it can be a white paper or a report,
right.
Or it can be all three.
Yeah.
But you also want some valuable content on there.
Right.
And valuable content can be links to other valuable content.
Right.
So you don't have to feel bad about sending people, because then you become the man. It's like my doctor's a general practitioner. He tells me when I need a specialist.
Sure.
But I don't look down on him because he told me that I go, oh, wow, thanks.
No doubt.
So.
No doubt.
So you become like the generalist, and if they need help or there's something that is valuable, give it away.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. And in our world, a lot of realtors will recognize that, you know, one of those specialists right now is Steve Harney, who's a real estate trainer out of New York. His website is Keeping Current Matters. He has a free blog called kcmblog.com. And realtors are often using his stuff because what he focuses on is, you know, why is now a great time to buy? Why is now a great time to sell? I mean, he can actually, at this moment in time, talk about both sides. And they're very well written. They're data-driven. It's not just opinion. So that would just be one great example that a real estate agent could use to point to and not have to feel like they actually have to sit down and write all the content, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And YouTube videos and you know, funny stuff about people selling their homes. Right?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you can post that stuff. It doesn't have to be all serious all the time because your personality isn't all serious all the time.
Yeah, I'm a really big fan of that. I find that to be true, that the more of you that you can sort of pour out, the better off you are. And, you know, I realize for me as Coach Bill Hart, rather than try and be whatever, you know, professorial, I'm going to be the guy that I am. I'm a guy that, you know, enjoys life. I'm a two-time cancer survivor. I try and squeeze the juice out of every day. And so when you look at my posts, very often they're a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I'm having a good time. But I realize that's just so much easier to just capture who you are. So if you're a realtor, you know, if people get hung up on video, the reality is that smartphone in your hand is probably a camera as well. And you can more than likely video by just holding it out at whatever length your arm is and doing that sort of man in the street thing about a new listing or this couple you just talked to or check out this piece of property that's eroding out of the back, make an offer quick, you know. That'd be Southern California real estate humor, I guess. But.
Yeah, or this one was featured on Hoarders. Get it now?
Yeah, exactly. but the point is, it doesn't need to be that complicated, nor does it need to be specifically serious if you're that person that tends to enjoy life more and be a bit more jovial.
Right, and here's, because again, the whole content thing is the biggest excuse I ever hear for not doing it. So number one, use other people's content.
Yeah.
Number two, don't strive for perfection.
Yeah.
In my past life, I was a professional writer. Email did something really interesting to people's taste for writing.
Oh, yeah.
Email is real.
Yeah.
The syntax, the pop-offs, the tempo, the way it's written.
Yeah.
Now you compare an email sent by a sales guy to a customer joking about something.
Right.
And compare that to the company brochure.
Oh, yeah, completely.
And what happens is professional starts to become fake.
Yeah.
And the generation today and even the older generation is getting kind of educated to it, like, oh, that's fake.
And you can immediately sense it.
Real is a guy holding a video out, and that's actually gaining more credibility than a professionally done video. It's kind of crazy.
No, it is crazy. I was just going to make the observation, Robert. Michael Mayer, who I mentioned earlier, I'm attributing the quote to him. I believe that's where it came from. He said, perfect is the enemy of done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can point to 100 projects sitting around that perfect's getting in the way of.
Absolutely.
It's nuts. A couple more things real quick. Twitter.
Yep.
Have them go out to search.twitter.com.
Mm-hmm.
So search.twitter.com.
Okay.
Click the advanced. There's a little tiny line underneath the search bar that says advanced. Click on that.
Okay.
Type in realtor.
Okay.
Scroll down to the area and type in your city name.
Mm-hmm.
And hit search.
Okay.
What you're going to do is find out real quick that there's 3 or 4 hipsters in your market with Twitter.
Right.
That are realtors.
This
is how to steal what they do.
Yeah.
So instead of going out and buying a book on it or something.
Right.
Go out and find who's really good at it. And find out what they're doing and look at their posts and see how they track back to other resources in their blog and how they comp, because you can get in and search their, to their profile.
That's a great idea.
And it's a master's degree course, you know, black belt in Twitter.
It's a great idea, man. I love that.
Cause I mean, I can give 100 techniques, they've got 100 more.
Yeah. No, that's great.
So again, it's just a real quick thing to do to get up to speed on it fast.
Right on.
Is observe a master. The next thing to do is, let's talk about Yelp and, you know, the Amazon rating system kind of started it all.
Yeah.
Companies used to spend massive budgets on crafting the perfect advertising message to get you to buy.
Right.
Along comes all the social media thing, and it's blowing those budgets out of the water. Why? Because they see this great advertisement, and normally they would have gone and bought. Or they see the direct mail piece and they would have gone and bought. Now they go out and go Yelp. Or, eAdvisor.com.
Right.
Or TripAdvisor or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a stinker. No one likes it.
Yeah.
And they're gone.
Yeah.
So, as a realtor, you have to be very aware. Somebody can actually put you out on, put a listing for you out on Yelp and say you're awful.
Well, that's not good.
So what I would do right now, we talked about your past customers. I'm going to give an out-of-season metaphor and then back into my point.
Okay.
I was a little kid, we're dead broke. I think I'm 6 years old.
Yeah.
We're dead broke, don't have money for a Christmas tree. But my mom looks around, and what do we have? And we live near a field, and there's these tumbleweeds always blowing down the street. So she gets big the little tumbleweeds and stacks them in a, you know, makes a triangle out of them, or a tree out of them.
That's great.
Well, then she goes into the garage and gets an old bottle of white spray paint. Spray paints it all white. Then she goes to her her scraps of cloth she used to sew. And she gets all of her scraps, and she ties these beautiful bows all over the white tree. And then she strings some other stuff on it. Well, pretty soon, what I remember as a kid, as everybody visiting her house going, oh, my word, look at that beautiful tree.
Oh, my goodness.
And she built it out of scraps.
Yeah, that is so cool.
And so right now, you know what, your budget might be bad.
Right.
But there's some scraps that you can use that are within your reach that are free. One of the biggest scraps is your past customers.
Yeah.
Those past customers, you can go out and you can friend them on Facebook. You
yep.
can start relationships with
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
You can go out and say, hey, here's my tweets. You can start tweeting them. It's free. It doesn't even take long.
Right.
The barrier is just non-existent.
No,
so,
man,
so those
great.
Are your existing scraps. You can go out and do search.twitter and start seeing what others are doing.
Right.
Most of which is free. The blogging thing, for under $100, you're in the game.
Sure.
And look nice.
Yeah.
And you can use other people's posts, other people's scraps to
right.
start building this kind of this Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And so it's doing what you can with what you've got right now.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, there's a time I was I spent a year on crutches. And so they're trying to get me to walk again. So I go to this therapist, and I start going, well, I can't do this, because, you know, and I can't do this, and I can't do this. So the therapist listens to me for a while, and then he goes, what can you move? I went, oh, I can do this. He goes, well, let's do that.
That's great, man.
So what can you move?
Yeah.
And so in a market like this, it's just brutal.
Yeah.
You've let go of the vision. You know what? You got to rekindle that.
Yeah.
And then you got to look around and go, what are the scraps I have?
Right.
What can I move?
Right.
What's free? What can I get going? You know what? The world's moving new. The world's moving mobile. What can I do right now to start educating myself?
Love that. Love that.
And then build out.
So, Robert, in closing, I want to touch on some of the physical marketing that you actually corrected me on last night, because I was saying my assumption was, you know, we're sort of moving away from that, and we really need to be using more of the, you know, the virtual and the mobile world. And you were saying, no, there's actually a very real opportunity there. Would you unpack that a little bit?
Yeah, we get away. Like I had an example pop up when I said that. I'll give it to you, faxes. So I'll come back to that.
Okay.
Everything's moved technology. Hey, sending out an email is way cheaper than sending out a letter to my customers.
Right.
So most companies have all gone to online subscriptions.
Yeah.
Bloggers have gone, wow, it's easy to do a newsletter if it's through an RSS feed or a blog or an email or AWeber. So I'll start doing it. And suddenly we have hundreds of emails coming into our mailbox. So what once had impact has now become just mass noise and clutter.
Mm.
So that relationship you think you're building, you're not.
Right.
So some of the people I know are going to old school newsletters.
No doubt.
And they're sending them out, and they're physical and they're tangible. Because the competition in that space, it's kind of like the hand waving, hey, look over here.
Yeah, and right.
And then you slap them in the back of the head.
That's great. And you would drive them to your hub, obviously, through the physical piece, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you still want digital, and it's cheap, and it's great, and it's awesome, and, you know, we're going to talk about SMS and everything else, but you're almost guaranteed to see it in the mail.
Yeah.
You may not be on Twitter, because they got busloads of stuff flowing by there. You may not on Facebook, and you may not on that. Email, they might be reading it, they might not, but a thank you card handwritten comes in the mail to them.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible impact.
Yeah, absolutely.
So right now, one of the things I'm doing on kind of on my side growing my business, I could have done 100 years ago. That's how much technology is involved in it.
Wow.
I could have done what I'm doing 100 years ago.
Wow.
And it's the most effective thing I'm doing, and no one's done it.
And that is?
Which I'm not going to tell them. Sorry.
I sort of knew that was coming, but I had to ask, right?
You had to.
That's what they were all thinking.
They're going, oh, what is it?
Can't really tell you that.
But It does involve the mill.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Anyway.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, look, Robert, you have rocked this interview. I really appreciate it. I know that you're a busy guy. You got a lot going on. I want to encourage everybody who's listened to this to immediately go to Amazon and order a copy of Strategy Matters. You'll be glad that you got it. It's an easy read. It reads the way that Robert talks. So if this had an impact on you, I'm going to encourage you to do that. And then if you're really invested in relationships, I would order 5 to 10 more copies, because you're going to have people that you're going to want to gift this to. You're going to be thinking about someone who would benefit by this, and it would be a tremendous gift for them. So, Robert, I thank you, man, so much. If somebody wants to reach out to you, if they've got something that they think you could help them with, and, you know, I'm going to just let them know again up front that you're a busy guy, so not just idle questions, but if there's something that they need to reach you about, what would be the best way for them to contact you?
My email is stover@robertstover.com.
There you go.
And that's the easiest way. And for fun, Facebook, just Robert Stover, and I'll pop up somewhere there.
Yeah, man. As a coach, I'm going to tell all of you, you need a friend, Robert. And then just watch him, because you'll laugh, and you'll be entertained, and you'll probably be encouraged and challenged to stretch and grow just like you did today. Robert, thanks for making the time to be with us today, man. I just think this was an awesome interview. I think you made a difference to an industry that could use a little, a different perspective on how to approach this market moving forward and getting us out of this. So thank you for sharing your wisdom and your observations as a strategist.
Well, Ben, thanks much for having me. I enjoy this, and I really hope to get some people off the stick.
My pleasure, man. Thanks so much.
All right.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today. This, to me, was just a fun call, because I think it was time to step outside of the industry, look inside from somebody's lenses that just views the whole thing very differently, and challenge us to approach our business differently. I hope that you're going to go out and order a copy of Strategy Matters right now. And my hope is that Robert impacted you today like he did me. Until next month, this is Bill Hart for TalkJet. Make it a great day.